Hello and welcome to the Impact Podcast from us at Impact Wales. We're Finn and Jane, and every week we'll be bringing you the very best professional learning to help you make an impact in your school. Our very special In Conversation guest today is Kerry Richmond, who is Deputy Head for Morriston Comprehensive in Swansea, and she's also a geography specialist. Kerry, welcome and thank you for joining us again this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for asking me.
It's okay. It's lovely to see you here, Kerry, and we wanted to talk to you about a project that we helped you with in your school over the last academic year and what we're doing with you this year as well, because it was a really interesting project. But before we start all of that, just tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are in Morriston today. You know, just a little bit about you as a person so people know who you are.
No problem. So I started Morriston 4 years ago as deputy head teacher, having had sort of a journey, my fifth school that I've worked in up and down the M4 corridor in the last 20 years. Oh God, it's not until they say it out loud 20 years, it sounds like, oh my gosh, yes, it has been that long. Yeah. So we started, I came from a pioneer school, which was a professional learning pioneer school, and obviously Morriston is not a pioneer school. So that was the first major difference I saw, was just how outside the loop non-pioneer schools were and just how much they just didn't have access to the things that pioneer schools did. So we went in from sort of the proviso that we don't know what the curriculum's going to look like for 2022 yet. You know, this was pre-progression steps, et cetera, et cetera. But we do know what good teaching and learning looks like. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty of pedagogy, and let's concentrate on pedagogy, and let's make sure that over the next couple of years now, before progression steps and what matters statements, etc., come into play, that we really used that time and utilized it properly to come together as a staff and really hone down into what our practice in the classroom looks like. So it's not what we're going to teach, but we can discuss how we're going to teach it.
Yeah, so it's when we first met you back in, and I had to actually look this up, October of 2020. So that was, I'm just trying to think.
No, it was
2019, sorry.
It was pre-pandemic, wasn't it? Because we actually came in to see
it. It started, yes.
And then because I was thinking 2020 doesn't make sense then, because we actually came in and we sat in your office together without any masks, and there was no question of masks or anything. So we met you back in October of 2019. And at that point, what had you done up to that point with staff in school about pedagogy?
It was really looking, first of all, at what their understanding of pedagogy was. I went out to all staff and we did sort of a SWOT analysis on their strengths and weaknesses, and found out that there wasn't much of a parity. There wasn't much conversation that happened before that point on actual pedagogy. So it was starting from scratch. So at that point, it was like, well, okay, I'm going to need a framework here. Where do we start? And obviously, our annual teaching priorities at Morriston are developed through our self-evaluation of the development of pedagogy from the previous year. So it had to start somewhere when I started. You know, I was starting fresh. So we started with Rosenshine and improving pedagogy related to strand one in the first instance. And we really honed in on that planning, sequencing concepts and modelling, having that focus. The year before, and I was very, very rigid on this with my head teacher, actually, because I believe that our teaching and learning priorities shouldn't change from one year to the next, you know, bouncing around. I wanted to make sure that if we developed something, then we really got down to nitty-gritty, and then we were refining it in years to come. So before I'd met you, in sort of the year and a half, is about 18 months up to that point, from everything that I'd seen in all the self-evaluation processes, you know, we really looked in at questioning and really delivering that, checking for understanding and making sure that children were challenged to think with breadth and with depth. But as lockdowns happened then, it kind of changed a little bit, didn't it? And we went back to, as I was walking around the school and our, you know, all our monitoring procedures, I really started thinking about, well, teacher instruction and direct teacher instruction and the explanations and the modelling, and making sure that that didn't detract or wasn't detracted from the fact that it was online. So this all sort of package sort of came together, didn't it, around that time, and it was morphed and it was informed by the needs that were going on at that time.
I suppose very much as well, things going online really exposed the idea of, we've really got to make sure that our teacher instruction, our teacher exposition is really spot on. Because Morriston tell us a little bit about Morriston Comprehensive, because I mean, I live in Swansea and Morriston was one of the schools that I used to work with when we were doing the National Support Programme. So I know Morriston quite well, but for our listeners, what kind of school was Morriston when you joined? Because I'm sure it's a little bit different.
The most comprehensive school I have ever worked in, to put it that way. So yeah. the range of students from both ends is vast. We've got a specialist teaching facility on site that houses 30 students with moderate to severe learning difficulties. And that was moderate when I started, and it's now been upgraded to moderate to severe. We've got nearly a third of our children with free school meals. And we've got, you know, a very good top-in. So every year we always have one or two students that are going in for medicine, for example.
Because, you know, this is what's interesting about the area of Morriston, because I live in Swansea. Because it's close to the motorway and because there are some really big houses there, it is quite a commuter kind of area, but there's also some very deprived areas around there, Cymru Di Ceiri, all of those kind of areas.
The top 20% most deprived areas in Wales are within our catchment area.
Truly comprehensive.
Absolutely. But then there's Villander over the other side of the motorway, which is really desirable, lovely little village and all of that. So anyway, let's talk about what we set out to do in the project that we were working with you, because you, obviously you'd focused in on Rosenshine and you wanted to think about Rosenshine in particular, but we started with human memory and the science of learning, and we were working with a small group, weren't we? So tell us a little bit about the structure of the kind of the professional learning for the whole school and why we were working with that particular small group.
Professional learning came under my remit as well as deputy head, and I'm very clear in my expectation that we can all get better. And my expectation is it's the one area that, you know, you have to take personal responsibility for. Although I do not expect teachers to complete all their CPD alone without time, resources or funding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And similarly, you know, they should not rely on school to spoon feed them either. So meeting in the middle, so to speak. The other thing I wanted to do and was very keen on was developing leadership opportunities at all levels. And we wanted to give our sort of collegiate staff more input into school improvement. And so it wasn't always that top-down approach, but we wanted to meet in the middle and have much more input from the bottom up, so to speak. So we put together these staff action groups. And each action group was led by a member of staff. It didn't necessarily have to be a middle leader. It could, you know, it could be anybody with aspirations for middle or senior leadership in the future. And one of those action groups was to improve teaching and learning. So in the first instance, as you said, all those members of staff came together. And what I was eager for them to do was to give them the opportunity to revisit the science of learning.
Yeah.
Because that is what we'd sort of been, and I, as sort of the leader of teaching and learning and staff development, have kind of been interleaving into all my staff development sessions over the preceding number of months and years. So it was a perfect opportunity for somebody else to come in as well and, you know, say the same message and to have that drip fed over time. And I think that was powerful. That was a good start.
And it was a good start, but the group was a really disparate group, wasn't it? I mean, we had
in a nice way, Finn.
Disparate actually is probably representative, but also the fact that we had middle leaders, we had class teachers, we had PE, geography, maths, ICT, but we also had a cover supervisor in there as well, which actually was really useful, because I often think that when you're going into a class, taking over from someone else, it's actually even harder and even more important that, you know, you've got really effective instruction giving, but really effective, you know, presence at the front of the classroom and all of those kinds of things. But one of the things that we did talk about is obviously the science of learning, but we focused in on modelling, didn't we? Because there was a real goal for the group as well. So talk us through that goal for the group.
Okay. I think the other thing to mention there is that we're talking about disparate. We've got members of staff in that group as well from an NQT,
right,
to middle years teachers to very experienced teachers.
Yeah. And the I think that really helped that it was such a varied group. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we definitely found a rising star in there, didn't we?
Yeah.
So the professional learning then was undertaken, first of all, through this engagement with literature, all right, in a series of sessions with yourself. And that initial phase of engagement with the evidence and various sort of collective, reflective discussions, it came apparent very, very quickly that the pedagogical strategy of modelling, shall we say, may suffer from an inadvertently formulated or shared knowledge that what is actually modelling? What is it?
Well, yeah. there are lots of different types of modelling, aren't there?
Yeah, and I couldn't actually agree on what we were talking about.
Yeah. And that was a really interesting process because we had
absolutely.
How many sessions?
Six, I think.
We had six sessions, didn't we? The
length of it, yeah. But even in that first session before that, because we'd done a sort of pre-reading, didn't we? And we'd all had a look at Rosenshine, and we'd all been sort of grappling with this. And became apparent very quickly that none of us were talking about the same thing.
Yeah. Well, that was it. And it was particularly challenging because, of course, all of these sessions, I think all of them, weren't they? Did we do one in person?
No, they were all online.
That was one thing I was going to say, is this whole idea of, you know, you've kept the professional learning going throughout COVID and a number of conversations we've had with schools where, you know, some teachers said they've had no professional learning during COVID. And I think the model that you had enabled that to continue and to grow, you know, despite COVID. And I think it's found a slightly different
way, actually
a more effective way of doing
That first lockdown in 2020, we obviously, you know, said the only thing you concentrate now is upskilling yourselves in online learning, and everything, all the time we had, all the meeting time went into upskilling teachers on use of Teams and online learning and the pedagogy surrounding that. And the staff were amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
And
so
I think
were our parents and pupils.
And I think that one of the things that your staff were particularly good at was the continuing with those kind of really quite challenging conversations and thinking really deeply and having strategic discussions, even though it was online, because I think even in the early days, a lot of schools had online training, but it was very much broadcast as opposed to the kinds of conversations that we were having with your staff. And when we had one of the sessions, actually, we had as paired tutorials where they just came in pairs and we had this really in-depth discussion about how they were putting into practice some of the things that they were doing during the previous sessions. And I think that was kind of like a turning point of the project, wasn't it?
That's the other thing I was very keen to do. I'm not a believer in one-off inset. Mm. I wanted something that was chunked over a longer period of time to allow people, myself included, because I was part of this group. I was part of the one that, you know, I've changed my mindset and outlook about what I thought modelling was. I'll put my hands up and say, you know, I'm in this with the rest of them. But having that time in between sessions to really grapple with and think about and try things out in class, that was the really, really important part for me. So it wasn't a one-off. It was over time. Yeah. And it was that time for self-reflection and review based on deliberate practice of that specific thing.
And staff in the group were also very good at finding ways to make this work, because they were all facing different situations with the groups that they had, that they were going to trial this with. And they all came back with a whole variety of ways to do this, which I think was really useful.
Because I was just going to say that one of the challenges that we had at the group, because not everything went well all of the time. After that first session, I think there was a little bit of kind of, you have to get over that knowledge hump. And I think there were a little bit kind of, oh my gosh, there's so much to do, what are we going to do? But one of the other things that I think was a challenge for them, it was because, you know, you had a member of the PE staff who actually wasn't doing any, you know, physical PE at the time. And then you had a cover supervisor who also, you know, wasn't as much in charge of the planning as they, you know, as a full-time class teacher was. And all of these very different subjects, you know, ICT is often seen as a very, very different subject pedagogically to something like geography or English or something like that. But they all found, from talking about live modelling and talking about direct instruction and the differences between the two, they all found something that was of value to them and something that they could work on in their own context, which I think is fantastic.
But also being able to learn from each other. And I know, like you said, that there were, you know, some within that group that had many years of experience, but you also had your NQT. And I think your NQT brought just as much to the sessions as those experts at teaching did. And I think they all managed to learn from each other, which was fantastic.
I totally agree. Yes, absolutely.
One thing that was interesting about your NQT, actually, she would often ask questions that I think other people were probably thinking but wouldn't say. But she had permission to say it, didn't she? Because she was an NQT.
Tell us,
Kerry, because we're working with you again this year, but we're doing something slightly different. So tell us a little bit about what we're doing this year and why you thought it was important that we...
And we're very excited about this project.
Super excited, yeah.
so am I, actually. Okay. I don't know how to... This is a minefield, and this is why we're working with you this year, because two words, people: assessment and progression.
Yeah,
indeed. And coming back to that, you know, we didn't all agree on what we thought modelling looked like or was.
Mm.
Well, assessment and progression are huge. Yeah. So first of all, I was thinking back to the conversations that we'd had about modelling, thinking, right, exactly the same is going to be the case now for assessment and progression. Nobody knows what they are. Nobody knows what they look like in their own context. We don't know what the Welsh Government wants us to do in this situation. What's it going to look like in the new curriculum? I've got so many more questions than answers. My staff are getting jittery because we're talking now about putting the curriculum together. We've had all these conversations about pedagogy. We've had the conversations about the why. Mm. And now they're entering into actual doing some curriculum clear outs, as we've called them. And trying to figure out, you know, what does an expert thinker look like at the end of year 13, and then sort of working backwards to what they're going to teach. But they're still asking the same questions. Well, what's the GCSE going to look like?
Yeah.
What's going to be in the exam? And I'm trying to say, no, that's not what we should be thinking about. You know, we're thinking about what are this knowledge and skills that expert thinker is going to look like. And that should be your overriding considerations when putting your curriculum together. But obviously, it is going to be assessed. What are we going to assess, and how do we measure progression? So what I wanted us to do, first of all, is again put a staff team together of interested parties who wanted to really grapple with these big conversations. And what I've said to them is, at the moment, we just don't know. So let's use this time to inform ourselves, not to come up with any answers or a direction of this is it, this is exactly what we're going to do. So I don't want a task and finish group, but I want a group who is going to spend that time discussing documentation, evidence-informed research that's out there, things that have worked elsewhere. I want you to use that time to inform yourself, to discuss it, to figure out and pull it apart. And then by the end of our sessions, be in a position where you have teased out some understanding and then in a position to have conversations with your departments and with the staff, the wider staff, about where we go from here.
I think that's a really important point. It's actually keeping the stakes low and allowing innovation and discussion to happen, because if the stakes are already high in the wider education system, because obviously we don't know about accountability, but the fact that you are explicitly keeping the stakes low in Morriston for staff, that gives them the space and the time.
Absolutely. And I believe that's important. I believe it's my job to really strip away any external pressure from the staff to allow them time and headspace to think about this properly.
It's one.
I'll think about the external stuff. I need the staff to be thinking internally.
It's one aspect as well of professional learning that I think many, many schools don't have the luxury, or they've missed that opportunity, just to give staff the time to sit and discuss. There's always seems to be that, but we've got to do this, and we've got to, and they're moving them on. But having that luxury of discussion, I think you get so much more out of it, because you get that deep understanding before you
absolutely and it's my argument that, you know, that discussion isn't a luxury, that discussion is
part of
the CPD. As you know, and we've discussed before, we get so much more out of collaborative discussion sometimes than you ever do just sitting down and trying to finish a task.
You've
thought about it. You know
not about a finished product at the end of it.
That is a really good point, is that the requirement for true understanding is that you've done the background reading, that you've had the background discussions, that you've asked the questions that are in your head, and you're
why are you doing this? I teach myself, it's start with a why. You know, I'm a massive Simon Sinek fan, but I've always, well, why are we doing this? What's the purpose?
Yes, absolutely. So in the project this year, there's three sessions over two terms, and we've got a small group again. So we've got six in there.
We've got some hard hitters in there, actually. So I've got my heads of core in there. I've got another member of staff, and I've got one of my primary heads going to join us.
Oh, right. Oh, there you are then. So we've got quite an interesting group going forward. But we sent out a Google survey, and I was just saying to Jane, we had a little bit of discussion in the office yesterday. We've actually put out a Google survey, asked some questions, you know, what is progress? What is assessment? All of those kinds of things.
So we can start where your staff are.
Yeah. So we've done some formative assessment, and we put it, Jane, I say we, but Jane put it all in a spreadsheet, and we've picked out the bits that, right, these are questions, we need to answer these. Maybe there's a couple of misconceptions there. So we've really done our homework.
Oh, to make sure. I'm feeling like the reminders now when they're waiting for feedback on their
Oh, yeah. Well, we've even got, in our first session, we've even got a slide that says questions we are going to answer today, questions we're not going to answer today, because you can't. You could have a session where you just answer questions, but actually that's not useful if you're thinking about building that narrative arc of learning and knowledge, because professional learning is still learning, and it needs to be approached in the same way as you would really effective learning. But we've got in there, in the project's background reading, research, government documents, what research tells us about effective assessment, a shared understanding of progression. There's a whole session on that. But then we've got this next step for school understanding. And I think, I know that you said that it wasn't a task of finished group. Oh, we've just got the bell going off there.
The bell.
But there is a goal for this group, isn't there? It's not a task and finished group, but there is an expected outcome, isn't there?
Yes, indeed. And as I've just explained, the expected outcome is that they've spent this time deliberately and purposefully, those two words again, grappling with the information that's out there. What are shared, you know, can we come up with a shared understanding just between the group, first of all? What do we mean by progression? What do we mean by assessment? What do we think, you know, that progression looks like at Morriston? What works elsewhere? What does the evidence tell us? And as long as they can then discuss that with other members of staff in school, I will consider this a success.
Yeah.
It's knowing what are the key things from the sessions that the rest of the staff need to grapple with, isn't it? It's using this group as well to help sift through
Absolutely.
The mountain of documents that are out there from Welsh Government and all Absolutely. The research to say, okay, these are the key things that we need to consider as a school.
But your expectation for this project has actually had wider ripples as well, because we're also working with the primary cluster now. We sorted that one out this week, and we're doing a kind of parallel project with them so that we know what's being discussed at both those two. But we're coming together for an inset half day or session.
Hopefully, yes. I would very much like that. I have spoken to all my cluster heads. You know, I'm very, very keen, as I said to him, at this embryonic stage of curriculum development across our area, it is an opportune time to come together and discuss the 3 to 16 learning continuum.
Yes.
The whole thing. And that is exactly what I would like to use this time to do now. So we do have a joint inset day each year. Obviously, we didn't do it during the lockdowns. But our last one was very much curriculum for Wales orientated, and the next one will be. And I'm hoping the next one will be much more sort of centered around sort of, you know, that transition of continuum, but looking at assessment progression.
It's great for us as well, isn't it? Because we can focus on the primary focus with your cluster. We've obviously got a secondary focus with you within the sessions that we're working with your group, but then we can come together and get that.
I've discussed with my head teachers, my cluster head teachers, then that there are two sessions sort of in there.
Program, we're
secondary input, or coming together, they're not secondary input, coming together and discussing.
Because this is the thing, primary and secondary are different phases, and they have different organizations, different
needs,
approaches, but they also have significant similarities as well. So it doesn't make sense for your primary heads just to join you on the secondary process, but for them to have their own process, but to have that complementary connected way of seeing things. And I think that's really important, that it is connected.
Yeah, this is what one of my secondary heads, you know, asking to join ours as well. I think that that's that crossover. She just wants to keep an eye and see where it is. I'm very much of the, you know, I'm a sharer. If you want to come in, you know, open, if I've got any resources you want, take them. I'm very much of that opinion.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. You know, a bit of open, transparent discussion is probably what Wales could really do with at the moment. So congratulations on that. It's going to be a really exciting project again. We're really looking forward to it.
And we know that some of the sessions that we've got, particularly with your primers as well, are face-to-face. And on our insight, hopefully, is going to be face-to-face. So we're really looking forward to getting back. Because there are some things that I think work a lot better face-to-face than they do remotely. But you know, there are so many opportunities within the remote setting, you know, that
well,
we can
do this. I mean, one of the remote sessions that we're doing with the primary cluster is we're doing sessions for the whole primary cluster, all teachers from the primary cluster in one. And that is so much more effective remotely, because actually it's to a certain extent a little bit more intimate, because you can have conversations with individuals where it's almost that they feel like they're not being overheard by, you know, however many hundreds of people. So it's, it's a really nice way of doing it. And we are, as I say, really looking forward to it. So Kerry, thank you so much for being on our podcast this morning. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and very interesting to see how you've been organising your professional learning in your school. And we wish you the very best with this.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for asking me. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry.
We'll see to you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss future episodes. You can find us online at www.impact.wales. You can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're at Impact Wales. On Facebook and Instagram, search for Impact Wales. And on LinkedIn, search for Impact School Improvement.